This is information from colleagues in Lombok this morning. The damage in Lombok, particularly in North Lombok, which is an area of about 200,000 people, appears quite severe. According to Red Cross and government assessments, about 80% of buildings have been damaged or destroyed. It's important to remember that some of these buildings were already damaged in the 29 July earthquake. Thousands of people are displaced, and the main needs right now are around emergency shelter and basic relief. I say that with a caveat because we're still unable to access, Red Cross and government teams are still unable to access some remote villages, so we are far from having a complete picture of the damage. The earthquake cut power and communication in the area, and it also appears to have cut physical access. As an anecdote, we had a team of about 20 Red Cross volunteers visiting villages affected by the 29 July earthquake. We lost contact with them after the earthquake, and only, I understand, re-established contact with them earlier today. But it's been very basic, and I don't have any sense of what they experienced at this stage. One of the interesting things coming in from our teams is the psychological toll of the earthquake. Teams speak of coming across ghost towns of villages that have been somewhat essentially abandoned. People have left their homes, they're fearful of living, of staying inside, or perhaps fearful of another major earthquake and a possible tsunami. You may have seen in reports over the last 24 hours there have been more than 130 aftershocks. I think that figure is probably by now a lot higher. This is something you often see in the aftermath of an earthquake, this sense of terror. For those of you who've been in an earthquake, it can be very hard to know the difference between what's an aftershock and what's actually the beginning of the next major one. So it's clear that one of the needs going forward, in addition to emergency shelter and basic relief, will be to address these emotional scars and the concerns of communities, particularly remote communities. Our colleagues from the Indonesian Red Cross, or PMI as they're known, have been active from the outset. About 110 staff and volunteers from the Lombok branch were activated really within the first minutes after the earthquake. They've been involved in search and rescue, in transporting people to hospitals, in providing basic first aid, including for many tourists, and as well as some teams providing more advanced forms of medical care. They've also been distributing relief supplies, including tarpaulins, mattresses, blankets, basic things like that. Many of the staff and volunteers involved in the North Lombok response were themselves affected. Many of them have family members who were injured or perhaps even killed. So they're going to need care and support. They're also going to need additional capacity. So the Indonesian Red Cross has deployed another 140 volunteers and staff, highly trained volunteers and staff, and they're expected to arrive today. From an international point of view, there's discussions now underway about what form of international assistance is needed. The Indonesian Red Cross, and indeed the Indonesian government, are very good at responding to emergencies. It's a competency born out of experience, as we all know. But it seems that this earthquake, coming on the back of the 29 July earthquake, might have overcome the capacity on the ground in North Lombok. So we're in discussions now about what form that international assistance might be. About a week ago, we released about 210,000 Swiss francs from our disaster relief emergency fund that was to respond to the first earthquake. Whether we're topping that up or whether we're launching an international appeal for support, we should have clarity on that in the coming 24 hours or so, and we'll share that information with you. That's all from me.